Be seated. How did God, how did Paul prove that he's the worker of God? That is what we were up to, right? So we continue to see how he proved that he's the worker of God. We talk about that. He used the Spirit. He really emphasized on the Holy Spirit to prove that he's the worker of God. Let's supplement one point about the Holy Spirit. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Yes. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Who was reading? Okay. Christiana, is it you? So the members in Corinth questioned about Paul's authority. They were even asking, "Where's your recommendation letter? Who sent us to you here? Why are you talking so straight to us? Who are you?" But Paul said, "Why do I need a recommendation letter? There's no point that I need a recommendation letter. Because you are my recommendation letter." Oh, it's very hosailei, huh? Lihai, huh? The way he talk, very, very straight and sharp. Why need a recommendation letter? You are my recommendation letter. Why? Because I preach to you guys. Right? I spent here so long a time, 1.5 years, establishing the church here. You guys, the church, he's not trying to boast about himself, but he was forced to talk about this. So one thing special about 2 Corinthians, you can write down different than any other letters, is in this letter, Paul was very emotional. He was forced to talk about a lot of things he usually won't talk about. He didn't like to talk about himself. He didn't like to talk about his achievement. He didn't like to talk about how much he suffered for Christ. Because that is not other people's business. Right? What you've done for God is between you and God. Why you talk about it? So Paul doesn't like to talk about that. But because of the member in Corinth, they are so demanding, they are so unreasonable, they are so ungrateful, and they were so challenging. So Paul had no choice that he has to defend about himself and to prove that he's the worker that God has sent, and you must listen to me because that is what God wants you to do. So in this letter, it's really emotional, and it discloses a lot of information that they usually don't talk about in other places. That is, give us a chance to know more about the personal life of Paul too. Because without that information, we would not know too much about his heart, what he was thinking. So he said, "You are my recommendation letter." And through the Holy Spirit writing this letter. So this is very, very powerful. Reply. Another way to prove that he is the worker of God. Chapter 4. Verse 1 to 2. Chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. Next. He tells us, we have received this ministry, this ministry or this work, will not be afraid. We've forsaken all the shameful things, and then we don't do crooked things, we don't do deceiving things, and we don't change the word of God, but rather we manifest truly the truth only. So this is the work of God. This is the true work of God. These two verses are very important. When we approach the end time, you will find the church may not be as simple as you ever imagine or you ever expect, were you taught. Because yesterday we talked about the kingdom, the parable of the kingdom of God, right? Matthew chapter 13. Actually, in the church, not only they are the good crops growing, but at the same time there will be weed. There will be the not good plant will be grow. And God allow them grow at the same time. Because if God pluck the wheat will die. So God allow them, especially when it's approaching the end time, these two plants, they look similar, but actually they are very different. So when we approach the end time, you see different workers, different kinds of workers. Some are good workers. Actually, you should say most are good workers, including preacher, deacon, church board, elders. But some, they look like a good worker, but they are not or no more a good worker anymore because they have changed. So Paul said, how do you show that you are a good worker of God? First, here tell us that verse 2, we have removed all the dark and shameful things. If you are a worker, you preach the message of light, you cannot continue to live in darkness. If you preach about sexual purity, you yourself cannot go to commit adultery. But if you do what, if you preach what contrary to your behavior, that's not good. So, how do you distinguish good worker and bad worker? Yes, he preached something, but he must do it. Otherwise, he's not a good worker. You don't even listen. You don't even follow. So this is very important. Paul said we have forsaken the shameful things, shameful deeds, or darkness. Secondly, he said we do not twist the word of God. We do not just preach nonsense. We do not preach human thinking. We only manifest the truth. Now, that is the key point. That is the key point about how to distinguish worker of God in the end time. Does he really teach the truth? Or did he preach something? Sounds like the truth, but actually when you open the Bible, actually it's not like that. Does he preach something very persuasive? Very logical? Sounds like very high level intellectual thinking? But if you open the Bible, it doesn't make sense. The Bible did not say this, but he make it up. Or did he preach something which is not in the Bible, but when he preached this, he make people happy. He make people like him, please him, and support him, saying, oh yeah, you are the best, other worker no good, the church no good, only you are good. Right? If a worker preach like this, he is not a faithful worker of God. So at the end time, you see more and more workers which is deviated from the right path. But Paul said, I can show myself I'm a worker approved by God. This is exactly what he's saying here. He must preach only the truth. Only the truth. So this part, we have to pay a lot of attention. In chapter 4, verse 7, also a very famous verse in 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Next. Underline this verse, also very wonderful verse in 2 Corinthians. We have treasure in the vessel of clay. What is this treasure? Mostly, in people interpret it's Holy Spirit. Huh? Yeah, that can be, because without the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. We have no value. Our body worth nothing. Our body, only human life. Without this breath, without the soul living inside, we're just like a dead body. But even we have this physical life, but if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, we cannot do anything. So Holy Spirit is the treasure. But if we look at the context, It can also refer to the ministry. The ministry. Because in chapter 4, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1 talk about the ministry. Your life was meaningless. But with God's ministry in your life becomes valuable and precious. You are all in school, I suppose. And you'll be graduating in a few years. What is your hope right now? I bet most of your hope is, after I graduate, I find a good job, earn money, build my career. Life is so bright, and I'll have fulfillment when I find my career. This is what you're thinking. That's why you're studying hard, right? But after you find a job, what do you find out? Job is a job. So boring. You're doing the same thing, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and continue to do it until when? You get so old and retired. Some people say, wow, if I can fly, I can be a pilot, and I'll fly everywhere internationally, it would be so cool. But after a while, flying everywhere every day, you get so bored once again. The first time you go somewhere is very exciting, right? But you go there every week, every month, doesn't sound that good either. Every job will get bored, no matter what kind of job. How exciting and that may sound. After a while, a job and a job. Family, the same thing. Family, you raise kid get bigger, get older, get taller, you get older. You lose your teeth, lose your hair, your belly being bigger. You lose your height, you become an old man one day. So, if you fast forward your life, if you look at your granny now, your granny is still around, I believe, right? If your grandparent is around, look at your grandparent, and that is the fast forward of your life. Sounds very, I can see his face, right? Grandparents. Look at your grandma, look at your mom now. Look at your mom now, you see what you will be in 20 years. Look at your grandma now, you see what you will be like in 40, 50 years. Right. Physically, I mean, of course, everybody's life is different. But physically, life is not as exciting as you think. Sorry, I'm not trying to give you the grayness of all. But that is life, if you know life. If your lives only have value of this life, you're thinking of career, you know, wealth, enjoyment, traveling, no, everything come to the end, doesn't have much meaning left. But there's only one thing bring meaning in life, is to serve God. Paul, his body is wasting away each day. But inside, because of the treasure, because of the ministry, even though he's wasting away, he's getting older, he's injured, getting hurt, injured a lot, but his heart is as new as the first day. Let's read verse 14 and to 18. Verse 16 to 18. Chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. If you have the treasure inside you, if your life is carrying a meaning because you serve God, then even your body is wasting away, you will not lose hope. You will not be disappointed or depressed. You know, nowadays, I don't know, in UK, many people in North America are very depressed. How about in UK, are there many people very depressed? I think so, right? Because of the weather too, right? No? Yeah, weather, right? London or Scotland or... Yeah, but in Vancouver, I used to stay in Vancouver. Vancouver is supposed to be the one of the most beautiful place, one of the most livable city in the whole world. But many people are depressed there. The mountains, the sea, you got skiing, you can go to go for the sea fishing. There are a lot of things you can do. So beautiful weather. But winter is very long, and people get very depressed easily. Why? And many people, after they retire, they're depressed because nothing to do. There's no work to do anymore. What's my life? What's that for? What's the value? There's no value. But Paul said, even my body is wasting away, but my mind is renewed day by day. Why? Because I think about the future glory, the future reward that God has given me. So when I was in your age, at the beginning I was thinking, what am I going to do in my life? When I was 18 years old, what am I thinking? I'll get a job, get start a family. Later I have my first job. But when I do my job, I think life is just like that. Is it just going on and off work and go home? In my mind, I was thinking, could I do something more valuable? And later I find out that, yes, I heard a calling in my heart. And then when I attended NYTS in US, I still remember when the preacher showed us all the video of the preachers going to Africa, preaching the gospel. So in my mind, I was stirred. My heart was moved greatly. So if one day I can go there, if one day I can serve God, if one day serving God is my full-time work, it'll be so wonderful. It'll be so meaningful. So I thank God for giving me the opportunity to serve Him. And I don't think it's a suffering. For me, it's a blessing to serve God. Many people say, oh, 传道很辛苦啊，传道很辛苦啊, lots of hard work. I said, no, it's a blessing. So being able to serve God is a blessing. It's not a burden. So every day, so happy. Just like this time, I told my family, I'll be away for you guys for 3 weeks. My youngest kid told me the night before we go, 爸爸很想你, there I will be missing you. Even when I arrive here, I call home my youngest kid, because he's youngest. The big one didn't miss me anymore. When he was young, but when they were younger, they missed me, but now they don't. The youngest one, 8 years old, called me, oh, 爸爸好想你, miss you very, very much. I said, okay, I'll be coming back in 3 weeks' time, don't worry. Because I know I'm not sad. Because I know I'm away for a reason. I'm away to learn with all of you together, pray together, work for God, enjoy the fellowship. So I'm not even sad, right? And sometimes be away from home is a good thing. Just take a short break, and then when I go back, appreciate even more, right? So think of the positive. So how do you show you are a worker of God? The treasure inside. You really respect this ministry. So I hope that some of you, of course not everyone have to be full-time, and not everyone can receive the calling or the gift. But if among you some brothers, in the future, I really hope among you, some of you, God will call you to serve Him. And when you do receive the calling, you have no hesitation. You must know that is the most meaningful things you can do, the treasure. And even though you may not be full-time, but I really challenge you and request that, even though you don't work full-time, but you still have this treasure, you must tell yourself, my real full-time job is not in the company. My job in the company or my career is my part-time job. Why? Part-time, only this world. Only short-term. But my real full-time, real most important work is my work in the church. That is what brings meaning. That's what carries reward to heaven. That's what makes a difference to people's lives. The work you do in your company only earn you the paycheck to foot your bills. Besides that, there's no meaning. Or little meaning. Cannot say totally no meaning, but little meaning of this life. But my holy work in church is my real work, real job. Even though you don't spend a lot of hours every week there. So that's the mindset you have. And you do have this mindset, your life will be so happy, joyful every day. Because you put God first in your life. So 2 Corinthians talk about proving yourself as a God's servant. And there's one more way to prove you're a God's servant, right? One more way to prove, because of suffering. Because of suffering. Because you suffer for God. Right? Chapter 1. Why God allow a worker to suffer? It's not because God doesn't like that worker. Chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Next. Continue to verse 5. Thank you. Verse 5. Okay. Paul gives thanks to God for the suffering they have received while they were preaching the gospel. Why God allowed them to suffer so much? Sometimes you ask God, God, if you make them easy, give them an easy job preaching the gospel, isn't it better? Why do you make Paul and suffer so much? And if you look at 2 Corinthians, you can see that Paul really suffered so much. What kind of things he suffered? If you read chapter 11, from verse 24, so much suffering. From verse 24, tell us, he was flogged by the Jews, he was beaten up, he was stoned, shipwrecked, long journey, danger of the sea, the thieves, same tribe, Gentiles, in the city of wilderness, false brothers, toil, labor, danger, without sleep, hunger, and thirsty, no food, naked. This is a physical suffering. Plus the spiritual suffering, in verse 28, 29, the worry of the church. So Paul has suffered so much. But suffering doesn't disqualify a member. But rather, is to prove that he's a real worker. Why suffering prove him as a real worker? First, because he never deserted his job. If a worker run away because of suffering, he's not a good worker. For example, the church said, hey, send me to Africa. I said, no, I want to stay in UK and never go to... I want to be a preacher in Europe. I don't want to go to Africa. Then you're afraid from suffering. Then you are not a real worker. And secondly, here tells us that in chapter 1, let's turn back to chapter 1, is really wonderful verse. Why God allowed this worker to suffer? Verse 4. Because God comforted Paul when he was in suffering. So he can use this suffering to comfort those who are in a similar situation. So this is very wonderful. Sometimes think about yourself. Why? Sometimes you may ask, why God allow me to suffer like this? But when you look back, you understand. For example, if you have gone through the low point in your life, if you have been even in depression, but God has delivered you, now you have experience. Now you saw some brother or sister, they have depression. For the rest of us, we never have depression. You never know what depression is, right? But if you have depression before, God save you, and then you go to encourage the brother, hey, no brother, I know what you're going through because I've been through that. I pray for you, we pray together, you can get over this. This single statement said by you who go through the same suffering is more powerful than the rest of us who have never suffered a disease. Somebody going through cancer can encourage those who are going through cancer now. Someone gone through the loss of a relative can comfort those who have just lost a close and loved one. So there's a meaning of every suffering. If you are not suffering because you commit sin, then there must be a good meaning of the suffering that God is giving you right now, or allowing you to go through right now. So suffering proves Paul that he is the worker of God. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 4. The theme verse, but this time we read until verse 10. Next one, please. Okay. This is how Paul proved himself. Right? He did not use other things to prove himself, but rather in suffering, in preaching the truth. This is like a summary of what we've been talking now, right? And after he proved himself, the worker of God, God will also prove him to the members. There are situations mentioned here actually is quite paradoxical. Seems it's contradicting, but can exist. It seems like they are beaten, but they were never... It seems like they were infamous, but actually everybody knows them. Verse 10, it seems like they are sad, but actually they are always joyful. It seems that they are poor, but actually they make many people rich. So this is exactly what the worker of God can do. And you can do the same thing if you offer your life to Jesus to become the vessel of the treasure. Not only Paul, apostle, not only full-time preacher can make the change of life. You can do the same thing. You can make people the life rich. You can bring joy to people. You can preach the truth. And I really particularly like verse 11. It seems like we had nothing. But actually what? We have everything. Paul was so poor physically. Paul was so poor. He didn't have a TV at home. He didn't have a mobile. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a house. But there was one person even poorer than Paul. But he was on earth. Who was he? Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't even have a place to lay down his pillow. He didn't have a place, a constant place to lay down his head. Where did Jesus go most often to spend his night? Besides members' house, like Mother Mary's house. Jesus always go to the garden of where? Gethsemane, olive tree. He spent the night there when everybody gone home. When I read John, I was really touched. John chapter 8, verse 1. John chapter 8, verse 1. Next. Everybody gone home. But where did Jesus go? Did Jesus have a home to go? Jesus didn't have a home to go back. 19 days from now, you'll be happily packing up, going to your own home. Jesus have no home to go. Everybody went home to see his family, to sleep, to lay down his head. But Jesus has nowhere to go. Where did he go? Mount Olives. He prayed there. He spent his quiet time there. He talked to God there. He rest there. And next day, he started to work. So Jesus was the poorest when he was on earth, but he made many, 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 including us, the life exceedingly abundant. So you can do the same thing, brothers. You didn't have to be Bill Gates or the richest person in the whole world. And you cannot be. But you can make many people's life become abundant by sharing the gospel and helping and comforting someone who is in need. So that's pretty much about 2 Corinthians. But of course, there's one verse. There's quite a few verses also very nice. Let's turn to chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 9. A worker may encounter the times or situation that he becomes very weak. But how can you go through this? Verse 9. Chapter 12, verse 9. Next. To 10. Verse 10. Just continue to read verse 10. Paul said, when I was in weaknesses, I boast about my weaknesses. The Lord's grace is sufficient for me. So that is the power that keep him going. The power that keep a worker going is not by his own determination. It's not by his own will, but rather by the love of God and by the grace of God. If not because of God's grace, I cannot stand here. Died a long time ago. If not because of God's grace, you will not be sitting here. You will be outside wandering in the world. So because of God's grace. So when you are very weak next time, tell God that, God, I'm very weak. I need your grace. And then you'll hear God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So I really like this verse. When you say, when you boast about your weaknesses, immediately the power of Christ will hover you and help you and lift you up. So this is about the book of 2 Corinthians. Any questions? No question, no? Okay, because of time, we have to rush a bit. Let's go to Galatians. We try to use the last 15 minutes to finish the book of Galatians. If you look at the map, this province is called Galatia. There's quite a few churches here. Galatia is not one place, but rather it's a whole province. So this letter was written not to one particular church, but supposed to be circulating to a lot of churches in the province of Galatia. Why did Paul have to write this? Because at that time, the Jewish Christian member, remember the background is different than the Gentiles. Before they come to Christ, they already observe the law, they keep Ten Commandments, they keep the circumcision and Passover and all that. Now, those Jewish Christians, some of them go around, go to the Gentiles' land, tell the Gentile Christian that even though you guys are baptized, believe in Lord Jesus Christ, but you still have to keep circumcision. You still have to keep the law of Moses to be saved. So that caused quite an impact on the Gentile believers. And even some of them conceded and went back and followed Judaism instead of upholding the gospel. So Paul was so nervous hearing about this news, he decided, I have to really write a letter to be circulated among the churches in Galatia to make sure they know the theme of the gospel. So what is the theme of the book? The theme of the book is to uphold the gospel of Christ. To uphold the gospel of Christ. The theme verse could be found in Galatians 2:16. 2:16. Let's turn to 2:16. Next. Underline this verse. There's a theme verse. No one can be justified by observing the law. That way simply doesn't work. So it's very similar to the book of Romans. But of course, book of Romans are more elaborate, more detailed, and more systematic. And this book, this letter, didn't go as deep in the book of Romans. But the theme are similar. It's just to address the issues that the law bring you no way out, and you must rely on Jesus Christ. And why do you turn back to the law? when the law is not perfect. So if you know this theme, then when you read it, you will grab the main points. In the book of Galatians, it tells that a gospel. There's a few things about the gospel we have to emphasize. First, the gospel must not be changed. Chapter 1, verse 6. Next.
Which is not another, but there are some controlling you and want to correct the gospel of Christ.
Okay, read until verse 10, please.
But even if we or an angel has preached any other gospel to you than that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do you now persuade men or God? Or do you seek to please men? Or if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ.
Paul wants to emphasize there's only one gospel, and the gospel are not supposed to be changed over time or over workers. No matter who preach it, still the same thing. So when someone preaches to you something different than what you have received, then that person should be cursed. Even if it's us who preach to you, but we update it or we change it, it should be cursed. That is very important. At that time, the wrong teaching is about circumcision. But today, in the end time, in we are the Gentile churches, our challenge may not be circumcision. Our challenge may be the TJC gospel, the fundamental core belief. We call it the fundamental, the core, or the fundamental belief. We call it the basic doctrine. Teacher Johnny Liu will teach you a lot about basic doctrine. I know you will not fall asleep in his class, and you should not. You can fall asleep a little bit in my class, I will not get too angry, right? I'll just tell you to read more Bible verse. But you cannot fall asleep in his class, because what he teach you is very important. Now, what you have received, what is TGC core teaching? First, one true God. The one true God that we believe from day one, TJC, God is one. Not Trinity God, one true God. God is true. And the definition of God is He is the only one from everlasting to everlasting. He is the only one God who exists by Himself. No other being can exist by Himself. Only God. No matter how you explain the Bible, no matter how logical way you put it, argue or whatever philosophical thinking, no matter what you say, only God can self-exist in the Bible. Even if you try to say anything other thing, sounds very persuasive, it is wrong. Just wrong. So, if somebody preaches to you different God, maybe the same, you call it God, but different accents, different nature, you cannot believe it, right? Secondly, what is the accents? What is the basic doctrine? Holy Spirit. From day one, TJC received the revelation from God. Holy Spirit have to speak in tongue. This is a core TJC teaching. Have to be speaking in tongue to prove you have the Holy Spirit. If you don't speak in tongue, you don't have the Holy Spirit. That is, day one, TJC preached like this, right? When you were small, when you were a baby, you hear like this, right? Even when you're young, SSC, you hear like this. This is from day one. Holy Spirit the only proof, only evidence, not one of the evidence, but only evidence speaking in tongues. But if you hear some workers say, no, it's only one of the way, even though you don't speak in tongues, but Holy Spirit is in you, that's different than originally what you receive. Right? Foot washing. Important to salvation. But if some worker said, no, it's only talk about love, it doesn't really matter. So, just example, in the end time, more and more challenges by the devil will influence some workers, will deviate from the most basic, and cast a lot of doubt. Just like the issues of circumcision, it wasn't even an issue at the beginning. Because when they preach, Paul make it very clear. Saved by faith, saved by grace. But over time, another generation of workers will come, or the worker, the mind got influenced, they preach circumcision. So Paul tell them, no matter who preach to you, even us, even angels come to preach to you. If it's different than what you receive, you shouldn't be listening. And Paul even put it more serious. He even said that they should be what? They should be cursed. Paul did not curse them directly, but say that they should be cursed. Why Paul is so stern? Why they should be cursed? Because if you, let's say, if you give a cup of polluted water to other person to drink, well, what's the worst effect? Go to the toilet 10 times, right, tonight. Diarrhea, right? Or fell sick for 1 week. Or the worst case, you give him some water with Ebola virus. You just kill his physical life, right? But if you feed someone simple faith with wrong doctrine, false teaching, especially someone that already been saved, but you give him wrong teaching so that he leave the right truth and believe the wrong thing, and of course you harm his salvation. You harm him eternally. So of course Paul said they should be cursed. Even I myself, even the angels, preach the different gospel. It should be cursed. So that's very serious, brother and sister. In the end time, you'll see more and more and more those different gospel, even from within our church. So that's why you're young, you should be rooted in the truth when you say a good memory, good understanding. And you, it's rooted, don't let new thinking change your mind. Don't admire, as young people, right, are very, very, very clear. Sometimes the more educated we are, sometimes we admire new things, new understanding, new teaching. We are bored with the traditional way of interpreting the Bible. If you have this mindset, you're very dangerous. The truth never changes. Even if you talk another 100 years, it's still the same thing. The way they explain it, still the same. But if you are bored, you admire the new teaching, you better be careful. Maybe you'll be affected very seriously. The Bible, the gospel have to be one, no change, right? I mentioned about one point. The second point is the gospel is revealed. It's by revelation. Verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. Also read verse 11, please.
Verse 11. I make known to you the gospel which is preached by me, is not according to
man. It's not according to man. This gospel is not according to man, but this gospel is by revelation. So why Paul, he can explain all this doctrine very deeply and seriously? And because he received revelation. Some revelation was given to him, but not given to Peter and James, right? But the most revelation was given to him by God. So that's why he wrote the majority chunk of the content of the New Testament. But the revelation stopped in the end of the New Testament book, Revelation. You cannot write another book and say, oh, I received new revelation. If you do this, you're a false prophet. So revelation about the Bible stopped after revelation. No more new revelation. Nobody can say, I read another book, those are all the revelations from God. Right. Just like the Book of Mormons. Mormons, they use the Book of Mormon. They also say this is a revelation. But there's no more revelation of the book itself after the revelation, the last book in the Bible. But understanding it, TJC, why we understand all this core teaching, even though it's written in the Bible, but in the past, why no one explained it? Like us. Because Holy Spirit revealed to us. 1917, TJC, beginning. So, uphold the gospel of Christ is a theme of the book. And of course, from chapter 5 and chapter 6, just talk about practical daily life. How do you uphold the gospel by living out the gospel? The key and the core things. 1 more minute and I'll finish. Huh? Next door, they haven't finished yet, I think. Okay. The key is to live according to the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 16. Walk in the Spirit. And also 25. Live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, barefoot by the Spirit. And that is the expectation of God to us. You cannot say, yes, I understand the doctrine, justification by faith, I do nothing. I still live in sin. No, we cannot do this. We must live by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and bear fruit. And fight with the Spirit, because Spirit is fighting with your flesh every single day. So we must win the battle and show that we uphold the gospel. Let's pray together.